Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
What's up? It is Ryan Merriman from Final Destination 3, Ring 2, Halloween Resurrection. Gosh, I forgot how many horror movies I've done. Have a blessed, amazing Halloween, my friend. Also, don't go out there. Don't go out there. I'm just telling you. Don't do it. Okay?
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all of our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's film review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I want to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode.
All right, guys. Let's jump into the film review. We're kicking off my theme, 2000s theme. I really enjoyed when Mike picked 2000s theme way back in, hell, over 2 years ago near his wedding, actually. So I had a good time doing that theme, so I figured we'd run it back. We're kicking it off with Brian's review this week. Brian, you announce your pick and why you picked it?
Yeah, I picked 06's Final Destination 3. I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. Now, I mean, I think it's, you know, a little bit of cookie cutter sequel, but I think the kills are great. I think it's, like I said, it's a lot of fun. Big fan of four of five of these movies right now. This is the last one I wanted to do because we've done 1, 2, and 5 before the new one 6 comes out, so wanted to knock it out.
All right, I'll go next. I don't have a lot of thoughts either, but I think it's fun as well. I saw this like when I was in high school, went over to a friend's house and watched it, had a good time with it. You know, I wasn't a quote-unquote film critic back then. I'm not a film critic now. I'm just a guy with a mic like everybody else these days. I still have fun with the movie. I did forget kind of how awful all the characters are. But like you mentioned, Brian, the kills are fantastic. It's hard to even pick, like, what's the worst kill in this movie. Like, I like all of them pretty much. Even the ones that just happen abruptly to characters that don't matter are still good, which is a good thing in a Final Destination movie. I'm right there with you. I think 1, 2, and 3 are all fun. But, yeah. I think this is right on their level. It's still under 2. 2 is the best. But I still like this one about the same as 1.
All right. So, to me, this is a mixed bag, right? Like, I think, like you guys have both said, great kills. And there is some fun to be had in this movie. But, man, the characters really drag it down. And I try not to really care about that as much anymore, especially in these movies that are kind of not intended to be very deep in the first place. But this one just had like no likable characters, zero, zilch. So it was really hard for me to follow along sometimes. But all that being said, I still think it's a pretty fun watch. It's, to me, it's just okay, but it never drags, which I like. Great kills. Fun cast too. Like a lot of like bit horror actors that are in a lot of other stuff I've seen. I was like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. That's her from this. So that's kind of fun as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid entry in the franchise. It's definitely not the worst movie in this franchise. I think it's right there in the middle. It's fun. I had a good time with it, but I would say I like it less than I do 1 and 2. I will say that.
First of all, I want to start this by saying that I own the Final Destination Blu-ray combo pack, and it's got four discs in the pack. And when I went to put the third disc in the Blu-ray player, I noticed that the fourth disc is gone. The Final Destination, the fourth installment. I'm missing the disc. That is very uncharacteristic of me. I always put the disc back in the case. So I just want to say to whoever the low-down, dirty son of a bitch is that broke in my house and only stole one disc, I'm coming for you. So, Brian, I know you said you only want to review. This is the last one you want to review. I do want to review the fourth one eventually just because I like to do things in completion, but it'll be a while because I can't find my fucking disc anyway. It seriously delayed my note-taking for a full day because I put this Blu-ray in, but it was driving me so crazy. I spent the next day tearing the house apart trying to find the disc. Anyway, back to this. When this franchise was in our annual 31 on 31 ranking episode, RIP, I had this movie 26th out of the 31 that we ranked on that episode. Oof. I said that it seemed like a cheap cash grab trying to capitalize on the first two movies, which I think are really good. I really like the first two. The special effects are bad, and it's just not a good movie. I won't be all negative, though, in this review. And it's far from the worst thing I've watched even just this year. And surprisingly, not the worst film in the franchise. We've already talked about The Final Destination Part 4, so it's not the worst, but yeah, I just don't think it's a good movie.
You did a better job with my thoughts than I did. It's not a good movie. And honestly, it's one of the very few times while I'm watching a movie, I'm like, this kind of sucks, man. And then when the movie was over, I'm like, actually, that was pretty fun. You know, that wasn't too bad. That's kind of where I came down on it.
All right. Well, I'm doing the scene by scene this go around. You guys have anything else to say? You shit on my movie before
it's
I start?
Not personal, bro.
All
right. Just business, bro.
We open up with ominous shots of an amusement park to an amazing theme produced by Shirley Walker, who did the other three films in the series, 1, 2, and 5, that we reviewed. Don'tgooutthere.com. We see a group of high school students, Wendy Christensen, her boyfriend Jason Wise, best friend Carrie Dyer, Carrie's boyfriend Kevin, who is played by a friend of the show, Ryan Merriman. Wendy reviews a picture she took of their ride and notices some letters were showing different in the picture than in real life, spelling out die. Really subtle there, death. The group stop and grab some food as Kevin takes the camera from Wendy and shoots up some passing girl Stacy's skirt, hoping to get her, quote, camel toe. Carrie tells Wendy in private that she's planning on breaking up with him, and Wendy continues to take pictures of classmates around the park, finding her sister among the underclassmen who snuck in. Wendy and Jason stop to discuss the possibility that her hesitation on riding the ride may stem from her not having control, and we see the two girls from earlier, Ashley and Ashlyn, calling Frankie a perv and a giant dick as he records them with his cutting technology camcorder. We get some more tension building as we wait in line for the ride, and Wendy and the rest of the group, as the group comes to the front, for some reason, Kevin and Jason flip a coin to ride in the front versus the opposing rows with, quote, a fucked up Wendy, who is scared of the tracks. Jason wins, and everyone is shown entering the coaster with Wendy and Kevin being relegated to the back row. The ride operator hits the start button, and we join everyone as they start on the tracks. Go ahead, Nico.
All right, just keeping it honest, I don't have a lot of notes throughout this whole review, but I enjoy the opening credits to the movie. Like you mentioned, Brian, I thought the score was menacing, and it puts you into a carnival mood. Like, I'm in that atmosphere. Wendy, I'm with you, girl, giving that roller coaster an, oh, hell no, look. You are insane in the membrane if you ride a roller coaster at a pop-up carnival. You do not care about your
Preach,
life,
brother.
And
Preach.
You need to be checked. I love seeing... I've seen too many videos of kids getting tossed out. Ain't no way in hell. I love seeing Amanda Crew. She's one of the stars of an incredibly underrated comedy from the 2000s, Sex Drive. I love that movie. Yes. Highly recommend it. I know we all have this in our notes, in our thoughts. I know we're going to all say it, but I'll get to say it first this week. Ha ha. But I have to shout out Tony Todd, Candyman himself, horror legend, the voice of the Devil Flights Ride. Shout out to him. Super cool guy. No exit after turnstiles. I'll see you soon with the devil on the sign. That's scary as hell, man. Like, if I'm going on that ride, like, that's a nice touch. Like, that would have me scared for real. Frankie, super annoying. Already excited for his death scene, and I hope it's brutal. Side note, it is, because I couldn't remember how it was, but after watching the movie, I went and revised my notes. He gets a really good kill. A fun opening set of scenes has got me in the Final Destination mood.
Yeah, so I actually like this open. Like, I think this, like, going through the carnival, you know, mirror hall and everything with the lights, I thought it was really fun. That amusement park, it's, you know, looks very creepy, and it's very, it's almost too, like, campy in a good way would be the way I would describe it. Like Nico said, I'm going to reiterate here, you could not pay me to ride that roller coaster. It's an all hell nah. If they don't die, they would probably have the luck of the Irish. Oh, sorry. Yep, that's right. I got one more later. I've got some other references later. It's a reference night, fellas, so just sit tight, okay? That'd be Ryan Merriman. Shout out Smart House and Luck of the Irish there, guys. Also, I already don't like these four. Like, I don't like a single one of them right off the bat. We're taking weird upskirt shots of people. Just super fucking, just creepy, man. I don't understand. I will say, and this was not me being intentional, when Ryan Merriman, like, jumps up in the air and taps his heels, that he got that training from Luck of the Irish. I know I'm not the only one that thought that. He literally did the whole jig and everything. It's very much so. All the women here, so the Ashes, Wendy, Julie, all those, they can call me sometime. I mean, they were all in the scene together, so I had to knock it all out of the way. The Devil Ride would be a cool-looking ride, and I actually wish this was, like, the end of the movie where they got on. I know it can't be, right, because it's Final Destination, and that's how it works, and I understand. But I would love to see this almost be, like, a really fun horror comedy that ends on this ride. I think it'd be really cool. Just, again, cool ideas, bad characters. I will say the whole getting on the roller coaster scene takes way too long. I know they're setting something up, like, hint, hint, the order of people's deaths. But we're just kind of standing around and talking to people the way no one talks to each other. Just some bad dialogue here. Man, I don't like it. But, you know, I don't really need this scene to know Frankie and these dudes are a bunch of assholes. And that's kind of all. And Frankie, also, if he didn't die, was going to end up being some kind of weird school shooter. So it's probably best that he dies later in the film. Spoiler alert.
So, consistent with the franchise, I love the open. The amusement park scene with the credits is awesome, and the score is as well. I like Wendy seeing the light and the sign be out in her picture saying hi, die instead of dive, like you mentioned, Brian. It's consistent with the franchise as well. That's fine. And some of the dialogue, it won't kill us. It might kill us. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, if they only knew. But also, that's just kind of cheesy to me. I don't think we needed that many references to death. We know it's a Final Destination movie. I really hate the douchebag move of taking a pick up the girl's skirt. Like, it's so unnecessary. Has nothing to do, like, he's not a pervert in the rest of the movie. Well, the rest of the movie that he's in. And the fact his girlfriend wants to break up with him should be the least shocking development of the movie. He's a tool bag. Right after that, it proves that James Wong was horny on Maine. The thongs poking out of the two girls' pants. Really? We meet Julie, and shout out to Amanda Crew, like you said, Nico. I have a sizable crush on her. She's great in Sex Drive, Silicon Valley, and the episode of Suits she was in. Big fan of hers. Sidebar, the movie Sex Drive used to be one of my friends, Buck, rest in peace. He and I used to watch that movie all the time. He would get so pissed off because there ain't no big boy in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's what you say every time. I'm not sure why everyone didn't make a big deal when the top of the High Striker game went flying. Like, no one seemed to care. That's odd, because that would have hurt like a bitch if it hit someone. Wendy kind of annoys me earlier in this movie. She's overly paranoid and freaked out about literally everything. At least Alex had a reason to be paranoid in the first one. Like, he had the full-ass premonition before he was paranoid. All she had was a faulty light in a picture. Then again, like all these characters suck, every one of them, and the dialogue doesn't help. Frankie Cheeks may be the worst character in the entire franchise. Hated that guy. To be honest with you, it's a pretty lackluster opening. It does establish our characters and shows us their relationship, but nothing to write home about.
All right. During the first loop, Frankie drops his camcorder onto the tracks below while asking Ashley and Ashlyn to show their titties. This causes the hydraulics and restraints to fail during the ride, and we systematically see everyone killed one by one, concluding with Wendy. Wendy wakes up realizing it was a premonition and tries to convince everyone not to ride. This causes a fight between Kevin and Lewis that mirrors the fight between Alex and Carter from the first one. She ends up convincing 9 people, including Kevin, Ashley, Ashlyn, Frankie, Lewis, goth couple Ian, and Aaron, not to ride. And despite Jason trying to get off, she's unable to save them, and Jason and Carrie are killed in the ensuing accident. Weeks later, Wendy is at school and sees a memorial to their lost classmates, taking a moment to mourn Jason as an all-too-familiar gust of wind blows out the candle inside the school. It's death, motherfuckers! Kevin enters the school and finds her, trying to talk her into the graduation. She says, "Fuck you, I don't even like you, motherfucker," and so many words. As Ashley and Ashlyn invite her to the tanning salon, to which she immediately crumples up the paper, Kevin doesn't give up and, for some dumbass reason, tells her about the explosion of Flight 180 and how they may be in the same situation. Really reading the room there, Miles from Halloween Resurrection. Sisters Julie and Wendy share a moment as Wendy asks for some help and shares their guilt, asking her to come stay with her when she finds a place, and Julie asks to borrow the school's camera for graduation. Ashley and Ashlyn shows up to the tanning salon, and a distracted manager allows 2 girls to handle their appointment this time, telling them to no drinks in the room this time. And that's all I have.
All right. As soon as I saw hydraulic fluid leaking, I'm getting queasy. Why do you ask? Roller coaster malfunctions were a legit fear of mine growing up. I'll touch on that later on in my notes, but if you went to Wild Adventures, you probably know where I'm going with this. Just as an observer, this ride is a little underwhelming to me, you know, as a film watcher, considering it's called The Devil's Flight. Like, man, come on, man. I've seen kids roller coasters carrying this one. As terrified as I'd be on this ride while it malfunctions, the cause of all the malfunctions being a camcorder getting wrapped on the ride, I just ain't buying it. That coaster is running it over no problem. I wish we got a better cause of the malfunction personally. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I think she does a great job in this scene portraying her fear. I think she does great. Texas Battle has one of the best names ever, but man, he's such a dick to Kevin and Wendy. It worked out, though, kept him off the ride. Ashley, whew, terrible line delivery inviting Wendy to join them tanning, but we know she wasn't hired for her acting prowess in this. I don't love, personally, the basic I did a Google search on a case similar to you having a premonition reveal to Wendy from Kevin. Wish that we could have got something a little better than that. Crystal Lowe, the actress you hire in the early 2000s if you need an attractive lady to get naked on screen in a horror movie. This movie, Wrong Turn 2, Children of the Corn, Revelation. Whew. Come on, yeah. Crystal, get your money, girl. That's all I got. Go ahead, Mike.
Honestly think they do a great job of following the coaster up. Like, I think there's some really cool visuals, some really cool shots here. The POV is done really well. I like it. And again, I'm with you though, Nico. I wish there was a different reason for this coaster coming off the rails and breaking apart, but there's not. Again, it's not something that like deters the movie for me though. It's just something I kind of wish was different is all. But I kind of feel like this scene, even though it ends up being a premonition, should have had more fun kills. Like, I think if you're going to put it on screen, you might as well, like, up the ante a little bit. And there's some, but, you know. Anyway, I just wish there was more kills there. When he said he told him to control that bitch, that was savage. That was tough. That was a hard line right there, man. That's crazy. Honestly, I hate these Ashley and Ashlyn characters or whatever the fuck their names are. They're so terrible on screen. They're put here to die. So I understand them being in the movie because it's like a slasher. So death is like any other slasher at this point. But the way they speak to people, like telling someone they're so high school, even though they're not even out of high school yet, like, go fuck yourself, okay? Anyway, look, if anyone was going to be killed off, it being Jason isn't like the worst decision we've ever seen, all I'm saying. I don't hate how they tie the previous 2 films in here because I don't really know another way that you would do it. other than be like, hey, I saw this case. You know, if you have a better idea, great, but I don't. I think it's fine. Last thing, this is a very touching scene to end here between the two sisters. I thought it was a very, you know, very nice touch. Added some actual character depth, which we haven't really gotten yet. I thought it was a nice touch.
So I know I've been critical of the movie so far, but surprisingly, I really like the roller coaster scene. It's so outlandish and over the top that it's actually a lot of fun. When Buddy went flying and hit his spine on the roller coaster structure, I laughed my ass off. And then when Kevin was cut in half, that was kind of gnarly. And it was a premonition. See, now is when I'd like for Wendy's paranoia to kick in. Didn't make much sense to me before. Lewis being a dick in the fight afterwards is kind of annoying, though. It's too cheesy and over the top for me. Like, I don't know. I don't think they would have gotten a brawl over it. Jason was on the roller coaster when it crashed, so my initial thoughts were, damn, he ain't going to be in Rush Hour 3. But he would go on to be in Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Shout out to that movie and the great Tyler the Bean. I do appreciate the tie-in to the original story when Kevin tells Wendy about it. At least there's continuity in that way. And then, quote, we have to get a tan so we look good for our dead classmates. That's a wild-ass thought process. What the fuck is that girl thinking? I like the dynamic between Wendy and Julie. That was very well done in that scene. Like, Julie was all angry, but then Wendy needed her to be a sister and to be there for her, and they had a touching moment. Really good stuff. Like, I really like that. I don't know if this set of scenes is necessarily better, but the action picked up, and I'm at least invested now.
Fuck Tyler Labine. All right, so Wendy has shown experience the gust of death wind, baby, in her bedroom yet again, as we see Ashley and Ashlyn set the timers for both of the tanning beds back at the salon. We flash back to Julie, who examines the pictures from that night at the park on the same Apple computers that I used in college and hated with all of my heart and soul, and flash again to Ashlyn and Ashley setting up the domino effect of death.
What? They had computers when you were in college?
God damn it, bro. You're so close to getting cut out of this goddamn episode. All right.
Sorry.
All right. As the two strip topless and pull down the beds for what will be their last tan ever, while Roller Coaster of Love plays over the boombox. Wendy uses the crumpled up piece of paper to try to warn the two girls, but Death says, gotcha, motherfuckers, and it's to no prevail as they burn to death in the two gruesome deaths as we get a fantastic transition from the two tanning beds to two coffins as we lurk overhead at Ashley and Ashlyn's funeral. Wendy seeks out Kevin at the funeral, and the two share a conversation near Jason's grave. From that conversation and past photographs, the two start to deduce that maybe Death is out to get them, but are interrupted when Wendy collapses and says she's starting to feel a little woozy here. They get in Kevin's truck and continue to talk about the issue when Kevin swerves and almost kills a road worker. Go ahead, Nico.
All right, this is where the movie's nostalgia factor kicks in for me. I remember going over to a friend's house, watching this flick, and the tanning bed scene is still etched into my memory. For reasons, of course. Ashley and Ashlyn are the prototypical early 2000s girls, right? I think like they nail the Paris and Nicole vibes. Like, I think they do a great job in this. Motorola Razor, boy, that brings back some memories. I used to be able to text on my phone, like, in my pocket when I was in high school, that thing. One of the best phones I ever had, to be honest. This tanning bed death would be horrible to experience, but these girls can't push that board over a little and escape out. Great acting by them as they're trapped, but the inability to escape, a little frustrating. While I think Ian is spitting, snapping on Death's equality, their funeral isn't the place to do that. Frankie continues to be insufferable at the funeral, and I thank Julie for smacking him. Chalk up another tally mark by Texas Battle's name for being a dick. God, these people suck in this movie, don't they? And like you mentioned, Brian, I'm feeling a little woozy.
Damn right.
We all saw Stu Mocker's face right there, didn't we? Go ahead, Mike.
All right, look. What we're about to see is a great kill. There's no doubt. But everything, look, I get the character of Death. I understand. But everything about this particular death is their fucking fault. Every single bit of it is all on them as characters. They're terrible fucking people, and they don't follow rules, and they don't listen to shit, and so they fucking died here. Anyway, there's even signs. They tell them not to bring drinks inside. Don't bring devices, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, again, I said it already. It kind of feels like we just haven't done a movie with nudity in this way, anyway, in a long time. So I was like, oh, shit. Hadn't seen that in a long time. That was interesting. Again, though, Hard to Die, great kill. Just a great fucking kill. I thought it's very creative, very fun, unique in a way. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Thought it was really well done here in the tanny bed. Hard to watch, though. You know, it was very, or for me anyway, I felt, I was like, God damn, that's a terrible way to die. One of my least favorite ways to die, I would think. This, drowning, burning a lot, like that, that whole thing sounds fucking terrible. Then there's Frankie, who I fucking hate as a character, trying to make this funeral about him. No one's trying to impress you, Frankie fucking Cheeks. Your last name is Cheeks, because you are Cheeks. Fuck you, Frankie. I will say, they turn our girl Wendy here a little bit cuckoo bananas. No, that wasn't a stutter. That was on purpose. Cuckoo bananas. Because 9/11, these conspiracies adding up to somehow her friends dying. Like, whatever you say. The picture of the Twin Towers with the shadow plane is too fucking much, man. I thought I was having a moon landing conversation with Brother Dust. Speaking of Brother Dust, go ahead, buddy.
We never landed on the fucking moon. Who the fuck uses the tube of lotion to scotch a door? Anyway, and then I forgot my iPod. They have CDs. Crazy how those two sentences aged. Kids today don't know what either one of those two things are. And this movie came out the year I graduated high school, so yeah, I feel old. And them saying, are we the only cool people who come here? And then jamming out to Roller Coaster of Love or whatever the song was. That's hilarious to me. That music was not cool in 2006. No one that I knew was listening to Ohio Players. Cut it out. I do think these two chicks are insensitive as fuck, though. How could you be listening to a song that says Roller Coaster that many times after your classmates literally just died on one? And they should have died on it. I wish there was a payoff for when Wendy left a voicemail on her phone because she said, I'm sorry, I'm too late. Like, I don't know. I wish that maybe the cops heard that and like questioned her, like maybe made her more of a suspect in the matter because she's at every single one of these death scenes and they never question her once. Maybe that's just me. The Tana bed deaths are, they're kind of too far out there for me. Like of all the things that happen in this franchise that are unlikely, this one kind of takes the cake. There's no shot a Tana bed has the capability to get that hot and literally burn flesh. I don't think, but anyway, you see how white I am. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with Tana beds games. The funeral. Not only would you get Frankie Cheeks' annoying ass, but Ian, shut the fuck up. God, I hated him too. And another thing. Jason was buried, what, maybe a couple of weeks ago? And the grass has already grown on his grave? Be fucking for real. There's no shot that that grass growed that fast. Wendy breaking out the pictures was a nice touch, though. Abe Lincoln, 9/11, good stuff there. I like how she's tying these all together. I felt like Charlie in It's Always Sunny pointing at the conspiracy board. When she nearly fainted, yeah, you guys hit it. And I'm feeling a little woozy here. Like, come on. She was too close. She had to say the line in the way that Stu did. Also, unrelated to this scene, but this is where I was trying to figure out why Kevin looked so familiar, and that's when it dawned on me, The Luck of the Irish. I know, Mike, you've already mentioned it. Shout out to Disney Channel Original Movies. Hell yeah. This set of scenes was right on par with the ones also that preceded
Smart
it.
Also, Smart House, Elite fucking DCOM as well. There you go. Oh, man.
See, that one, I didn't really like Smart House as much. It was okay.
Lucky Iron. Yeah, but Lucky Iron.
We both know what, Brink, we both Brink, know what the goat
brother,
is, though.
Brink,
we both know what always. The goat is, though. Brink.
So,
all right, the two pull into the drive-thru and begin to look at Frankie's photo when electronics start to go haywire and they see a runaway moving truck heading their way. The two narrowly escape, but the runaway truck engine ejects upon impact, cutting the top of Frankie's fucking head off, who was in the car ahead of them. They go to Wendy's house, not the fast food restaurant, and continue to look through pictures, and Kevin confesses that he was going to ask Carrie to marry him after graduation and decide to try to find Lewis next and not look at their own pictures until they have to. The next day, they find Lewis in the weight room, lifting embarrassingly light weight, if you really look, and Wendy sees clues all around the weight room, but pretty much just stands there and watches two swords almost take his head off after watching it literally the entire time. Then the bench closes in and smashes his fucking head completely inside out in another awesome kill. After a pretty quick change of clothes from the school gift shop, Wendy and Kevin are apparently not being held for any questioning of any kind and head to a hardware store where they find Ian and Aaron. Ian psychotically sets up a nail gun to kill pigeons, while Aaron is jump scared by Wendy and Kevin to let them in. Ian and Aaron are assholes while being warned, and I personally would have just walked out and let the two fucking die if I was Kevin and Wendy at this point. Go ahead.
Kevin constantly looking at pictures instead of driving or pulling forward in the drive-thru. Man, that annoys the fuck out of me in real life. Pay attention, man. And I don't understand why Kevin doesn't just hit the gas himself and push the car out of the way. Hey, but kicking out the windshield works. Great kill, though, with the fan cutting half of Frankie's head off. I think that's one. It might be my favorite kill. I don't know. There's a lot of good ones to pick from. I'm the opposite of Kevin. My dark curiosity would have me looking through all the pictures and trying to figure out my potential death. I would not leave that house without looking through all them pictures. I like Texas Battle. Got to reiterate that. But damn, his character, Lewis, he's such a dickhead, man. Like, who is writing these characters? And I've been in quite a few locker rooms, and they've never been this roid ragey. The hell are these writers thinking, man? Lewis, he has an awesome death scene, but terrible, terrible effects on the weights crushing his head. Woof. Zero reason for Wendy and Kevin to bang on the door, scaring the shit out of Aaron. They just yell that you're outside. Like, why are you going to scare this girl? You already know, like, death is killing people in weird ways. And I don't know why, but this goth couple working at a hardware store, it seems so right, doesn't it? Shout out to my man Ian McKinley, operating that forklift, certified forklift operator. That's all I got. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I love the song they start playing in this movie about somebody being behind you and all that. Like, I think it's fun. It definitely, I don't like a use of it later, but I'll save that. I do like that. And I like the scene of the truck or the box truck rolling downhill here. I think it looks really good and really a cool fucking kill here to Frankie, which I was glad to see. Almost wish he suffered more, to be honest. He was such a fucking annoying character, but I thought the effects looked good. Very creative kill there with the fan. And, you know, he didn't want to go to his house. Maybe he wanted to go to her house after this because it was a smart house. I don't know. All right, that's my last reference. Thank you. I'm out. I promise. Actually, that's not true. I have another one later. I will say, Sultans for college mascot name, that's pretty fucking cool. I feel like somebody should steal that shit. The Sultans, let's fucking go.
The Sultans of SWAT.
That's from Sandlot, Nico.
He's never seen that movie. He doesn't know what baseball is. Anyway.
I've seen The Sandlot.
Oh, I'm sorry. That threw me off. That was great. I don't know. This weight room scene is kind of just bleh to me. Part of the reason what Nico said is, like, I've never been in a weight room like this. Like, yeah, there's a lot of screaming and grunting and stuff, but, like, I don't know. This seemed way too forced to me. I think the character of Lewis was so forgettable for me outside of one line. I don't care about his kill. And so it doesn't, and I'm not invested in what happens here. I thought the kill was fine. I didn't think the effects were as bad as you did, but I just don't give a fuck about the character. I will say for Ian here, Osama Bin Supervisor is a great fucking name to call your boss. That's hilarious. I'm going to steal that. It's really fucking funny. But here's the thing, man. I do not give a fuck about these two in this Lowe's ripoff store. I do not care. Now, what's about to happen has some fun stuff in it in the next set of scenes, but we've almost spent no time with these two. And so we have our two main characters, and then we're introduced kind of, sort of, to new people. It's like the first time you're, like, hearing them talk for more than a couple seconds. I don't know. Just what – I don't care about the characters. But, hey, I'm still along for the ride. Like, it's still – a pretty fun watch. I'm just kind of like, nobody, not a single likable person yet, in my opinion. Even Wendy. Sorry, Wendy.
SpongeBob lives underwater. It's so sad that you know that. Bitch, you'd have to live a rock like Patrick not to know that. SpongeBob was huge. SpongeBob was huge in 2006. Still is. Elite cartoon. Stupid ass line. The runaway truck scene was awesome. I literally like everything about it. One, they go through a drive-through, which is very commonplace in real life, but never happens in movies, so it stood out. Two, I like the radio playing the song that said turn around and the drive-through screen glitching and the word control going away, foreshadowing something out of control. Three, it was tense, wondering if they'd get out in time. And four, the motor to the back of Frankie's head, incredibly gruesome. Hell yeah. Brutal hearing Kevin say he was going to ask his girlfriend to marry him, knowing that she was going to dump him in a couple weeks. Cold world. Then, when Lewis is in the weight room, he does four bench press reps. Who the hell does a set of four unless you're maxing out? and he wasn't straining, so he wasn't maxing out. That annoyed me. The whole weight room scene is outrageously hokey. The cliche football pep rally ass cry going on, every single thing triggering Wendy's paranoia. But they redeemed themselves with Lewis's death. It was awesome, made me laugh at the same time. I agree the CG looked bad, but we got the false scare with, you know, we thought the swords were going to cut his head, but really they fell and he was smashed by the weights. I thought that was a lot of fun. Wendy having her little breakdown afterwards. Kevin just wants to make her feel better. I get it, dog. Get in there. The effects on the pigeons when Ian shot them with a nail gun were laughable, just awful. Like green screen my ass. That was terrible. I hated when Wendy and Kevin banged on the gate and scared Aaron. Right. There was no need for them to do that. Dumbass attempt for a dumbass jump scare. Like, just say, hey, you don't have to bang on the gate. Wendy's more caring than me, though. When Zip and Pip, or as I like to call them, Dip and Shit, start mocking them, I would have left their asses to die. Fuck that. I'm out. You want to die in this Lowe's? Go ahead. I don't know, man. Movie's just not really getting any better to me.
Dude, Where's My Car drive-through scene is one of the greatest of all time.
Fucking fantastic.
And then, oh, so funny. Goddamn. Still at the weirdly abandoned hardware store, Wendy starts looking at the wind chimes moving and realizes death is in the house. Another chain reaction starts as the two continue to be fuckheads and not believe them. And a runaway forklift is set into motion. And that's funny, Nico, you said what you said, because I wrote, would never happen to a certified forklift operator. Am I right, Nico? This time, Wendy is quick enough to save Ian's stupid ass, but death skips him, moving on to Aaron, who falls into the nail gun and is quickly turned into Pinhead. 10 hours later, the two emerge from the police station after questioning, and the two geniusly decide to split up for a couple of hours. Julie falls asleep at the computer, but upon awakening realizes that two people on the coaster whose faces were obscured from the hand are her sister Julie and one of her friends, Amber or Perry. This prompts Julie to call Kevin and to rush to meet him at the fair, but look at their own pictures before doing so. On the way, the radio weirdly turns into an Autobot, apparently, and warns her that she's being followed by Ian. Back at the fair, Kevin keeps looking around for clues and chases off two douche canoes who were running around with sparklers around the fireworks. He clocks Perry, Amber, and Julie and starts to make his way through the crowd to them when we are shown a rogue cannonball knocking the trailer stand holding the fireworks off. And the next set of scenes are the ending.
All right, I got the most on this set of scenes. Ian, careless as hell putting up all his inventory. You can't get good help anywhere. I'm not sure how that particular lift works, but all that shit falling into the gas pedal means nothing. It wasn't turned on, so how is it operating? Another question, what exactly is Ian doing? Just random tasks in a hardware store? The place looks closed, and he's just doing random stuff. Like, what has this guy got going on? Also, how do they not hear this lift driving on its own, knocking all this material over? I mean, hammers and saws are falling off the shelves, for God's sake. How are you not going to hear that? Nail gun death, I thought was really good. It took a lot of chaos to get there, but it was a damn fine kill. Is it just me, or is there zero chemistry between Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Ryan Merriman? This conversation they have leaving the police station felt so forced and unnatural to me. As obsessed as Wendy's been with these pictures, I'm just not buying she didn't notice her sister's bracelet until just now. This song playing in Wendy's car, There Is Someone Walking Behind You, that would have been fire for It Follows. Missed opportunity there. They need to use it in They Follow, though, so they got time to save themselves. I chuckled at Kevin saying, fuck you, Ben Franklin. My man is stressed out and he won't admit it. And I was like, God damn, that cannonball was going fast as hell, wasn't it? Sheesh.
I do like the way this movie sets up its kills a lot, because it kind of makes you think someone's going to die this way, and they actually died this way. Like, I thought it, like, I think it's pretty good. So I think the setup and the kills are, again, the strength of a movie in the Final Destination franchise. No shocker there. We take a really long time of what I consider to be fluff to get to this nail gun kill that I think is fucking awesome. I love the visuals. I think it's a creative and cool kill. It looks really, really great to me. Then these two split up after, you know, Mike Dustin pointed out, clearly there's some lovey-dovey stuff there. But I'm also on the in the camp of Nico. Like, I'm not know if I'm buying these two. Like, you know, both of them lost their significant others. Like, I get that, you know, a little trauma bond, as the kids would say. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Just splitting up in a situation like this feels really tropey to me. I will say I would love to have these two on my team if I was doing like a game show where I had to guess something, because the fact that like Ryan Harriman guessed that his face looks like his would look if a firework went off is fucking way too good. Like, come on. Get the, if that's the case, I'm taking him on Wheel of Fortune. I'm taking him on whatever fucking show I can get him on. Let's go. We're going to win some fucking money. Fuck you, Ben Franklin is a great line. Another line I'm going to steal from this movie. I'm just going to start saying that randomly. Also, because Ben Franklin was a fucking weirdo. So, you know, I have no problem there. Last thing, I was hoping for an immediate payoff with this cannonball setup, but that's not what this movie does. So it had me interested to see the end, though.
So, yeah, I got to wonder how Ian got forklift certified. Dog is reckless on it. Nico would never. I did read, though, that these scenes in this hardware store, the store agreed to let them shoot there, but only if they shot everything after hours, and they had to cover up all the branding and the store name because they didn't want to be associated with the teen death film. But yeah, so that explains why it took place after hours. Never in my entire life, and I'm a woodworker from way back, mind you, never have I seen plywood shatter like that after falling. How many plies was that shit?
Yes.
Pathetic.
Yep.
You make a cornhole board out of that shit, and the bag is going to make a new hole,
is nowhere going near straight as good through as wherever pies. It hits. Anyway, go
ahead. Terrible. The nail gun kill was cool, though. Motherfucker kept firing rounds in the back of her head. Hell yeah. Got a goof here. Wendy calls Julie and leaves her a voicemail, and then calls Kevin immediately after without hanging up the phone. Like, if you count the beeps, she didn't hit enough buttons on the phone to end that call and start calling another one. So there's a goof. I do love Death's presence in the movie, like giving Wendy clues through the radio and stuff. That's kind of cool. Kevin, with the fuck you, Ben Franklin, and Mike co-signing it. Not cool. Keep my ancestor's name out your fucking mouth, you heard? But anyway, at this point in the movie, let's wrap it up. I'm ready to go home.
Well, hold on.
Dustin goes,
Ben Franklin
all right.
was a fucking weirdo, brother. Right. Anyway, go ahead.
You don't know that guy.
I don't
know. You don't know that guy.
Fine, we don't know.
I know we have syphilis,
but Bill Cosby either. Then I guess, right? Yeah, whatever.
No, we do know about Bill Cosby. Are you trying to tell me that Ben Franklin was giving girls Cosby coladas way
sure,
back
I
when?
Do know
no,
he really liked obese women.
Okay, here's the ending, fellas. Kevin tries to convince Julie, Amber, and Perry to leave, but is met with resistance as we are shown another chain of events kicking off. Kevin is able to save Julie momentarily as he's knocked down by the horse, but the rope snags her, taking her for a ride behind the horse, and she is once again saved at the last second thanks to Kevin cutting the rope holding her. Julie's friend Perry isn't so lucky, though, as she's quickly impaled by a flagpole in another awesome death scene, America. Realizing Kevin is next, Wendy is able to quickly save him from an exploding propane tank, and while carrying him out, is confronted by Ian, who is obviously still fucked up from Aaron's death. Figuring out that he is the one who causes Wendy's death with another lucky guess, Mike. But while saying he's not going to die, is immediately squished in half by a cherry picker falling on him. Hi-ho cheerio. Fuck that guy. 5 months later, Wendy is shown riding on a subway train with her roommate Laura and her friend Sean. As Wendy is about to get off the subway, she suddenly reunites with Julie and tells her she's worried about it happening again. Kevin then turns out to be on the train as well, and the two start to really get worried. Wendy receives another premonition that the train will crash, killing everyone on board in some fantastic deaths. But upon waking from her premonition, is in an understandably panicked state. The three try to stop it, but as we hear, it is to no prevail. What you think, Nico?
All right, fuck these asshole kids scaring the horse for no reason. But I have to ask, where the hell are all the people monitoring things? No one is watching the firework trailers. No one is standing by the horses. What is going on? This town ain't got no volunteers, no paid employees. Kevin with the luckiest sword swipe in history. And there's no way Julie isn't injured after getting drugged by that horse. I mean, come on. Let's be for real here. Did the Scream 6 writers write this scene? All right. Oh, damn okay. Fine kill for my Asian sister getting impaled through the core. But I don't know how I feel about Brian saying Merrick after that. I don't know. I kind of took that personally. Another great kill is McKinley gets crushed by the cherry picker. regardless if you like this movie or not, it has fantastic kills. People who play the guitar in random locations, don't be that person for anyone listening. Y'all are annoying as fuck.
I agree.
We don't care if you're making a TikTok or any of that crap. These movies are so hard for me to take seriously, but damn it, man, this subway crash is chaotic and fun.
I know this was Dustin's favorite part of the movie because that motherfucker loves fireworks. So I know he was excited as shit for this part of the film. Just kidding, Johnny. I will say the horse dragging Julie around looked really cool. And I don't know about anybody else, but every time I say the name Julie, I want to say it like Lars from the movie Heavyweights. Nurse Julie. I can't do it any other way. Great fucking movie as well. you know, my man Ryan Merriman here avoided death again. Like he had a little bit of the luck of the... Never mind, I already used that one. I can't use it twice. You know, it's kind of funny that our guy Ian referenced Charles Manson earlier because he has a little bit of Charles Manson in him. This is a weird, creepy, annoying motherfucker. I can't stand that. He's giving off a vibe, but led to a great kill. Thought that kill was fucking awesome. I loved it. I literally wrote, Nico, no one be the guy playing guitar on a fucking subway train. Do not do that. That is lame. I know you're an artist. You care about your art. Go somewhere else and do that shit. We're trying to get home. We're trying to get to wherever we're going. We don't want to hear you play. I will say, I don't love this ending here. The kills are cool. It's very fast-paced. So it looks visually awesome. But I think, one, killing off Wendy was a choice that I probably wouldn't have made. And two, I thought it was abrupt. Like, I don't know if everything wrapped up enough for me after I just spent the last 90 minutes watching it. But all in all, I think it's a fun ending. Just, I don't know, it felt abrupt. It's not my favorite.
So first we get pigeons being shot with a nail gun. And now we have horses being terrorized by M80. I know PETA hates this fucking movie. The girl getting impaled by the flagpole was fucking awesome. Hell yeah. Liked it. Another hell yeah. Ian's death. God, he sucked. But yeah, fuck fireworks. I'll take this. You know, it's June. In less than a month, I'm going to be terrorized by fireworks here. Anyway, I like the ride on the subway. There's so many callbacks to other deaths. 180, the song that the guy is singing, the advertising on the subway train, Booth, who killed Lincoln, who we saw earlier in the movie, even Oswald, who killed Kennedy. I don't remember a JFK reference in the movie, but that definitely was intentional. And the end of the line. Like, that's all really, really good stuff. The subway wreckage looked pretty cool. Damn shame what happened to my girl Julie there. I should have been there to keep her safe. And I like that it's a premonition. It's too late. Really solid way to end. I liked it.
It's too late to apologize. All right, I got Instagram. We'll do our social media comments and questions. Brian, you got Book of Faces. Dustin, you got the old X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Roy, Aaron, you know how it goes. All right, Instagram, jhambrick88 commented, love watching this one the most growing up, mainly because it had my girl, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and screw roller coasters, LOL. Hell yeah, brother. I was scared of roller coasters myself. I think I took it out of my notes, but Wild Adventures, the boomerang, that thing got stuck upside down all the time back in the day, so I was terrified of roller coasters. Our Salty O Soul commented, what is your favorite kill from this movie? We'll touch on that later on. Mine is a tanning beds because I'm addicted to tanning with the laughing emoji. But those beds really did a number on those girls. Yeah, they did. That shit looked miserable, to be honest. Harley Kayla X3 commented, I loved watching the DVD of this because you could pick what would happen. He actually DM'd me and told me about that, but I forgot to follow up with that. Missy Hudson Wall commented, the tanning beds, ... I don't think the ladies liked that tanning bed scene. Might have hit a little too personal. All right, last comment I got is from Macon X2. I saw it recently and was entertained by the tanning bed death scene. However, the part at the gym was really annoying. Everyone acted like an idiot. The guy deserved getting his head crushed. This movie, 2000s camp. I'm with you, brother. That workout room was way too roid ragey for my taking. I just didn't buy it. But Brian, you got the old Book of Faces pulled up?
Roid ragey, and they were literally benching 135.
Hey, brother, high reps, hey, high volume, low weight, bro.
Four reps.
He did four reps. I counted.
We only have one question on the Book of Faces. Christina Tower, this movie always comes to mind at the worst moment, when I'm actually getting on the roller coaster. Also, that tanning bed scene. Oh, man.
Yeah, we got two questions or two comments on X. They're both from the same person. Shout out to Mookie. He says, first time he said it was on our original post announcing all the picks for the month. He said, excited for the month, fellas. Thank God y'all did not choose the worst Final Destination movie, just the one that could have been easily prevented. Overall, stoked for each week. And then he followed up on the post for this movie specifically and said, I think the most annoying thing about this movie is that she saw how to stop everyone's death and couldn't say, hey, leave the camera, bro. Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, this movie could have been about 30 seconds long. Nice.
All right, guys, you got any fun facts you want to share?
The cast members on the roller coaster ride had to ride it 26 times on the same night in order to shoot the film's main premonition scene.
No fucking chance.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm an adrenaline dog. I love roller coasters. I love roller coasters.
I do, too.
I used to be in this may be a little nerdy, but I used to be in a coaster club, and we would get emails saying when a park was opening a new roller coaster, and we would get to ride it before it was open for the public. So that was fun as fuck. Tony Todd, who played William Bloodworth, provides the voice of the devil. You already said that one. He also provides the speaker's voice saying this is the end of the line in the subway towards the end of the film. At around 26 minutes, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Wendy Christensen, can't drive. I want to repeat that. She can't drive, so a stand-in had to be used when she pulled out of the school parking lot. Holy shit.
Oh, right.
This one was funny to me. In Japan, Nico's native land, the film is renamed Final. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Japan, whatever, I guess.
In Japan, the film is renamed Final Dead Coaster, which I think is a fucking awesome name.
Fucking Dead Coaster. I like it.
And the last one I got is that. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll go after you.
All right. Last one I got is that Ashley Tisdale auditioned for the role of Aaron but lost, and Vanessa Hudgens auditioned for the role of Julie but lost to Amanda Crew.
Man. Casting
director had his pick of the litter in this movie because Amanda Crew is a smoke show as is, but Ashley Tisdale, Vanessa Hudgens too. Woo! Go ahead.
Fun fact, I'm not from Japan. I'm from Kentucky.
We can tell, buddy. We can tell.
Oh.
Okay, now I only have two. Chris Lemche had to take forklift driving lessons for 2 days to learn how to drive one. Should have just hired Nico. Forklift certified.
What a bitch. Dude, 2 days?
And this kind of goes into what you guys were talking about with Patrick. But a newspaper article seen in the special feature, Choose Their Fate, reveals that Kimberly Corman and Officer Thomas Burke from Part 2 died when they ran into each other at Goldstein's Hardware. A Camaro owned by Evan Lewis, a victim in Final Destination 2, rolled down a hill and crashed into the front of the store. The two attempted to escape from the rear only to meet their fate at the hands of a wood chipper. Kimberly's coat got caught. Thomas attempted to save her. Both were pulled into the wood chipper. The wood chipper was owned by Roger Gibbons, whose son died at the end of Final Destination 2.
Oh, cool.
Hey, how about that budget, asshole. Mike? How about that budget?
You know? Budget these nuts.
About
in
that
your
budget,
mouth,
Mike. Damn.
Anyway,
let's get on with that budget, son.
The budget for this film was $25 million with a box office of $118.9 million and a big old go fuck yourself, Brian.
San Diego.
That's from Anchorman, Nico.
You can't put it on the monitor. He's going to read it that way. I've seen Anchorman. Fuck off.
All right, let's jump into our favorite kill. Show. We got to quit.
All right, let's jump into our favorite kill, least favorite kill in the rating. I'll go first. Favorite kill. God, there's a lot of good ones to pick from. There really is a lot of good ones. I want to go with the fan kill, though, back of the head. That's a great kill, man. I like that one a lot. Least favorite kill. I'm going to go with Lewis, Texas Battle. Not that it's a bad kill. It just looks bad. Like that blood looks terrible, but it's still a great kill. Rating. I think this is a fun movie still. However, I didn't really remember how terrible the characters were. I just remember having a good time with it back in the day. I did rank this movie ahead of Final Destination 1 in our 31 on 31. However, I still would rather watch this one just because I have more fun with the kills, but it's not as good of a movie. So I'm going to give this one a 6. I gave you the first one, I think, like a 6.5.
My favorite kill is actually the same as you, Nico, the fan kill. As great as the Tanning Bed kill is, really just didn't want to pick it because everyone fucking picks it. It is an awesome kill. It would be 1B if I had to pick one. My least favorite, same, is also Lewis. Simply because I don't give a fuck about Lewis. I didn't think it looked good. And I don't think it holds up. But, I mean, it's not bad. It's just out of the kills I remember from the film, it is my least favorite. So, again, fun movie. Like I mentioned earlier, it is one of those films where, like, while I'm watching it, I'm like, and then I got over and I was like, all right, that was a pretty good little fun popcorn film. Like, nothing, you know, outstanding, no Academy Awards or anything, but it's not, you know, the worst thing I've ever seen. And it's definitely not the worst in this franchise. And I think it's, you know, it's fun for what it is. Solid follow up. I went ahead and gave this a 6.5. Middle of the road night, making a return.
Okay. My favorite kill, I went with Frankie Cheeks, too. I mean, first of all, his character sucks, so I wanted him to go. But secondly, a cooling fan to the back of the dome is wicked. And the effects look pretty good. Runner-up for favorite kill to me was the nail gun, because they just kept pumping nails in the back of her skull. It was good. Least favorite kill was, look, I guess, the folks that actually died on the roller coaster. Because, I mean, we saw it in the premonition, but their actual deaths weren't shown in as much detail. So I'm going to take a cop out there. True. As far as final thoughts and the rating, last time I watched it, I watched the entire franchise in a row to prep for our 31 and 31 ranking episode. I hope that it was as bad as it was to me then because I watched it right after the first two, which I love. So maybe it looked bad in comparison. And hopefully watching it so far removed from the last time I watched the first two would be better. That wasn't really the case. It's more bad than good. The good was awesome, but the bad was just downright awful. Based on where I ranked it on our 31 for 31 episode, or 31 on 31 episode, I knew it had to be in the range of 4 to 5.75 because of the movies I had ranked before and after this one. So what I gave Spiral and what I would give The Nun, which honestly I'm surprised we haven't reviewed, if I'm being honest, that's a good size range, 4 to 5.75. I couldn't remember exactly how I felt about it, but I quickly remembered. I ended up giving it a 4.25.
Damn. My favorite death, I actually picked Premonition Death of Kevin being ripped in half at the very start of it. And my least favorite death, I don't know. I'm maybe Carrie and Jason's because it didn't really show them in the real kills. So I kind of took the same route there, Dustin. The kills are great in this, though. It was hard to pick one.
Yeah.
I love this one. You know, as I mentioned in our 31 on 31 rankings, what's kind of a generic sequel script in theory is, it's really overshadowed to me by some spectacular just gore and a lot of fun to me. You know, I gave the first one a 6.5. I gave the second one a 7.75. The fifth one an 8.5. And I'm going to give this one an 8.25.
Wowzers. All right. That gives us a composite score of 6.25. IMDb has it at a 5.8. So we're pretty close. Rotten Tomatoes, 43%.
Haters going to hate, or truthers going to truth. Whichever narrative you want to preach. I had fun with it, though. I mean, I'm with Brian. You know, me and him had this conversation going to Spookala. We want to knock out these franchises, man. Like, we want to knock out Saw. We did Saw 3 recently. Final Destination 3. We need to knock them out as well. Anywho, before I shout out these blood donors, Mike, you want to announce your 2000s pick for next week?
Tyra Levine. Anyway, and speaking of knocking it out, we're going to knock it out of the park next week when we review Cabin Fever. Let's go. And yes, I only picked this movie because Sean fucking Hunter is in it. That's it. That's the only reason I picked this film. So let's go.
Dude, a lot of people like this one.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Gut instinct, you will not care for it, Dustin. Just a thought.
Do you like it, Mike?
I almost spoiled my thing there, but Brian, I think you may know where I may be in the middle somewhere there, buddy. Fine, but I'm excited to review it.
Hey, fun fact, I just realized this movie was our 250th movie review.
That means Nico's seen 250 cool. movies. Nice. Let's go.
Okay.
Neat.
All right, appreciate that last stray, I guess. Let's shout out our blood donors. Appreciate y'all supporting the show. It means a lot to us. Camper Level Reoccurring, Nina, Michelle Mirza, The Horror Movie Crew Podcast, Alex Seligson, Michael Evans, and Steve Schmidt, new blood donor. Appreciate you. Camp Counselor Reoccurring, Edward Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford, Shan, Adrian Aiello, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Matt Strickland, Brooke Maley, Thorne David Phillips, Heather Superdoc, Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home Pod, Dana Tucker, and Cole McAlexander. We really appreciate y'all's donations. It does mean a lot to us, and it does take a big burden off of us. I mentioned it before. We're going to do a giveaway over on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I don't give a fuck. Go check it out. If you want to win, we're going to figure that giveaway out pretty soon. We didn't forget you. We didn't gaslight you just to get a couple followers to get to 800. Thank y'all for listening. I'm from Kentucky.
Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.